Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this here radio show. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and like that. So anyway, welcome. We appreciate Reverend Castorini being with us. We appreciate his candor. We're glad that we no longer have his candor on the air because it was getting kind of creepy. We have with us Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard.
But it was very honest of him to go and say that.
Yeah, sure, real honest, man. Like, I want to hear this guy having straight sex with a dude.
I'm just saying, the candor was very much appreciated.
Yeah, okay, Bud. That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah, all right, man. All you saying that for, man, just... You probably want to get with some of the women he knows.
Maybe I do. What's that make? That don't make me bad. How come? What do you want to do? Hang around a guard shack and think about what David Castorini's up to? And
get out of here! Come on, man! I'm starting the hour. Cut it out. So anyway, welcome to our hour here, the news and information hour, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This might have some interest for some of you. On Sunday the 20th, it will be the 50th anniversary of John Glenn becoming the first American to go into orbit. And by that, I mean going around the Earth. And he was the first. The Russians had done it already. And it seemed like in those early years of space travel, the Russians were doing everything first. They put Sputnik up in the air, which was that little tiny satellite. I don't know how long that thing stayed up, but it was the first space-borne object launched from Earth, and it was done by the Russians. And then, I believe they were the first to put a man into space.
Put a monkey up.
What?
They put a monkey out there.
Well, yeah, they put a monkey up out there, as you say, Bud.
They put a monkey, and they put a dog. They had a dog traveled, and a monkey went out. Monkey went ahead and headed out.
Man, you don't see a monkey headed out. You see the monkey orbit.
I didn't see the monkey orbit.
They put a monkey into space, okay? The monkey headed out. Is that like the monkey decided one day, you know?
Yeah, man, he think the monkey, maybe the monkey hijacked one of the jets, decided want to go out of space.
I said that the monkey got, they launched it.
But just, you know, you got a weird way of talking, man. They launched it. They launched a monkey as part of their, what they were doing. You can talk about whether they put a monkey or a dog up there. What they were trying to do is they were trying to see how relatively intelligent, sentient beings reacted to weightless space travel. Monkeys, dogs, intelligent creatures. And, of course, nowadays, the idea of using animals for... I'm sorry. It doesn't make me... I don't think it makes me some kind of a touchy-feely PETA freak, but... And believe me, I'm not, but... I don't like the idea of animals being used for any kind of experimentation. I just don't. I mean, I'm the kind of guy, I don't even go to, I won't mention any names, but let me just put it this way. I don't like to go and see whales jumping for beach balls.
SeaWorld.
Would you shut up, bud?
Shut up to say any name.
I didn't want to mention any names. You know, whales were meant to be in the ocean swimming and going between Mexico and Alaska, man. That's the last time I saw a whale out in the ocean. That's what it was doing. It wasn't sitting bobbing up and down in a tank waiting to entertain a bunch of jive-ass humans with a ball on its nose. Last time I checked, whales are out in the ocean and they're going between Alaska and Mexico. That's a long way.
You're saying they can't make a tank that big?
No, I don't think they can make a tank that big, bud. You're right. I don't think SeaWorld, and you know, as long as you mention SeaWorld, okay, I'll mention SeaWorld. I don't know who you people think you're kidding, because I ain't one of them. And I'll tell you something else, SeaWorld. I've talked to people that care for marine mammals, and I've talked to people that have the interests of those animals at heart, and you ain't fooling them either. You got your entertainment complex down there, so humans can sit on their fat asses and watch these beautiful creatures penned in for life, bobbing these things up and down on their noses. And I am not, like I said, I am not a PETA freak, man. I'm not one of these jackasses that runs around throwing blood on people who wear furs. I could give a damn, to be honest with you. Maybe if I got into, you know, the facts and figures on how that, I don't believe in the unnecessary slaughter of animals. I just don't. You know, I'm opposed to what Canada's been doing. Canada, you talk about, you know, you Canadians, you really got something going up there, man. I swear to God, you look down your nose at Americans like we're the dumbest things that ever walked. And there you are up there butchering up seals for what? Nobody wants that seal fur anymore. Nobody's eating seal meat. The hell is your problem? Yeah, I understand there's a whole industry of people. I mean, understand this, folks, that the Canadians are on the verge of probably subsidizing their seal industry because nobody's buying that stuff anymore. They're not buying seal products, not buying seal fur. They're not making any money on that industry. But they're all pissed off, these cats that seal for a living.
Is that what they call it, sealing?
I guess, I don't know. They're all pissed off because one of the people up there, one of the big politicians up there said, you know, maybe it's about time that we thought again about this seal thing because, you know, I think the guy, he said something very smart. He said that there was a time when Canada had to face the music about whaling, man. Nobody, whaling went away. We stopped catching whales up here. So maybe we got to face the music about seals. Oh, my God. He came out and said that. And there's some clown. And I say clown, sir, I'm sorry, but, you know, how dumb do you have to be? Some clown who represented the sealing industry got all kinds of pissed off at this guy because how dare he say these things? And, oh, boy, that's just, what fantasy land are you living in, man? Nobody wants your seal products. Okay? I'm sorry if your family's been in that industry for 85 billion years. If you had 5 cents worth of brains between your ears, you might have seen this coming. See, one of the things that we're getting used to down here in the States, and people are around the world, we're looking at different businesses, and we're looking at different industries, and we're saying, Jesus, you know, how come they didn't see this coming, you know?
You talk about like a newspaper and everything?
Yeah, the newspaper business. Why didn't they see it coming? The radio business. Why didn't you guys see the internet explosion coming? The automotive business. Why didn't you see the $5 a gallon gasoline coming? I mean, in other words, you got to have some smarts. You can't just go through life blaming it all on the other guy. You got to have a couple of brains working for you and say a part of being in business is seeing down the road. This is something that particularly in this country, we have just lost it, man, when it comes to part of the art of being in business is not only being able to serve the needs of your customer. It's also anticipating what is the business going to be like next year, 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road. We haven't got anybody in this country that practices that has that kind of business acumen that I know, other than the very obvious people that we've talked about and discussed down through the years, the Gateses of the world, the Jobses of the world, to some extent, you know, the Trumps, whoever you want to talk about. But, I mean, we don't have a generation of business leaders like that. We've got some of the dumbest bastards that ever were allowed to live past the cradle. And so we have these problems with our industry.
But that got to do with a seal, man.
Don't you understand? If they would have seen down the road about a seal, they might have made like more of them or something.
What do you mean made more of them?
Ain't that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that nobody wants to buy seal products. They don't like the way that they're slaughtered. The seal skin boots and all of that crap. Nobody wants that stuff. Okay? Any more than I would buy anything made out of a whale, for God's sake. We don't need it. One of the difference between me maybe and a lot of those people is I'm not living my life that way. In other words, I'm not every day when I get out of bed, I can't wait to get on Twitter and on Facebook and talk about what a bunch of scumbags the Kardashians are because they wear fur.
I think that her butt outweighs. Now, let me just make my point before you say anything. I think her butt outweighs the fur.
I agree.
Oh, well, now, isn't that just an intelligent point of view? Let me make my point, huh?
Yeah.
Did you make your point?
Yeah.
What a jackass. Get out of here. Her butt outweighs her fur. I'll bet you her butt outweighs a whole lot of things, man.
Yeah, imagine dragging that around in life. Man, oh, man.
She's probably got some thigh muscles on her.
All right, enough. So anyway, that's the story there, man. How do we get on that kick? I don't know what. Oh, we were talking about John Glenn. What the hell is wrong with me, man? How did we get on seal meat when we were talking about John Glenn? Anyway, 50 years ago, John Glenn, on February the 20th, 1962, he became the first American to go into orbit. His trajectory to greatness, or excuse me, his trajectory, you know what a trajectory is, bud?
Uh-uh.
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Better look it up.
How do you spell it?
T-R-A. The rest is up to you. His trajectory to greatness was set years earlier as a Marine Corps pilot. Glenn flew 59 combat missions in World War II and 90 combat missions in the Korean War. In the picture that they had accompanying the article that I copied this from, here we see Glenn, sorry folks, anyways, climbing out of the cockpit of an F-8 U-1 Crusader jet at Brooklyn's Floyd Bennett Field in 1957. Why is that significant? Well, in 1957, John Glenn made the first nonstop supersonic flight from Los Angeles to New York. He did it in 3 hours and 23 minutes. It was called the Project Bullet. He traveled faster than a bullet. He set a transcontinental speed record when he did that. 3 hours, 23 minutes, and put Glenn on the radar screen for selection as an astronaut a couple of years later. How about that?
Did you go that fast now?
We don't do transcontinental flight. A transcontinental commuter flight from Los Angeles to New York is still about 4.5 hours. And then when you're coming back the other way, one of those legs is longer than the other. I can't remember which one. I think it's east to west. I think it's longer. It's like 5 hours, maybe even 5.5 hours from New York to L.A.
Why don't they do it 3 hour and 23 minutes? Why don't they do it that fast now?
I don't know, man. They just don't. You know, it's a lot of fuel. It's a particular design. It's the weight of the aircraft. I think it's also the elevation that they're flying at. I think he was flying at a much higher elevation. A lot of stuff. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Charlie Sheen, guess what he said about Ashton Kutcher? Do you think it was good or was it bad? We'll tell you when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and truth is our bitch, and our news and information hour is happening, baby. And we have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. When are we going to have another Iron Swine, you guys?
Got to be inspired, right?
Yeah, we've got to have a good news story to do an Iron Swine story.
Well, maybe we'll come up with one. Maybe we'll come up with one for you guys. I don't know if this is one. Charlie Sheen... This is a pretty funny headline. Charlie Sheen, I'm tired of pretending Ashton doesn't suck on 2.5 Men.
You kidding?
No, I'm not. And I would say that it is typical Charlie Sheen. You know, it's a little bit with the carrot. It's a little bit with the stick. He doesn't want to come off sounding like a real ass jacket. But by the same token, he is. You know, he's Charlie Sheen, and he can't help himself. My read on Charlie Sheen is the following thing. He's an entertainer. He's not a priest. He's not a politician. He's not in charge of a daycare center. He's not in charge of a school for girls. He doesn't have my kids. He doesn't have your kids. He has no more pivotal a job in this world of ours than to play act in these teleplays and bring us a little bit of relief from the rotten, weary world that we sometimes have to navigate. So looking at it that way, whatever, you know, how bad is it? How bad is Charlie Sheen? He's not. And, you know, he's entertaining. I think we get it. I think what happens with humans is
people get jealous on account of the guy's got money.
Well, that's it. People, what happens with these entertainers, when you look at what they do, you realize, well, they really don't have there's not a lot of impact necessarily on our daily lives. Only that which we allow them to have on us. But what hangs people up is the notoriety, the celebrity, and the money that they make. People sit back and say, my God. And, of course, we never are honest enough with ourselves, ever are we ever honest enough with ourselves to say we're the ones that have made this world that they luxuriate in. We're the ones that give them that money. We're the ones that... you know, make them the obnoxious bastards that they are sometimes. So Charlie Sheen is back on the 2.5 Men warpath. I'm tired of pretending Ashton doesn't suck, Sheen told TMZ in a live interview on Thursday. I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of pretending the show doesn't suck. I'm tired of pretending Ashton doesn't suck. Nothing personal. No, not at all. I just feel bad for him. He's saddled with such bad writing, is what Sheen said. Sheen's outburst came after a month, came about a month after he ripped the show's writing. I don't think that Cooch is working with the best writing because producer Chuck Lorre is doing too many shows, he told the New York Post at an event in January where he was trying to sell his new show, Anger Management. He said that Angus deserves better material. They deserve what I had for the first 5 years. And he said, I don't think they're getting that, but you know what? Why talk about it? Let the clueless stay clueless. It was Charlie Sheen's final words on this. Sheen did have some compassion for Kuchar at the event. I've done what he's done. I've replaced a guy. He replaced Michael J. Fox on Spin City.
I remember that show. What is that about?
I don't know. I have no idea. Wasn't Spin City the one with... what was that show, man?
I don't know.
Oh, was that Calista Flockhart? It was Calista Flockhart, right? I don't know. Anyway, I can't remember Spin City, man. I can't remember shows. There's so many freaking shows. You remember when Felicity was big? You remember when Spin City was a monster? You remember when Just Shoot Me was a monster? I mean, think of these shows that were just huge. Seinfeld, sure, we remember those. Remember Frasier? Caroline in the City? Anybody remember that one?
Well, Carol, you said Caroline in the City is only big on account of it is on after Frasier.
Well, I mean, there was that show. There was this hammock. They called it the hammock between Frasier and Seinfeld, I think. And so there was a single guy. Was that the name of that show?
I don't know. Yeah, it's sort of like a single man, single guy.
And then there was Caroline in the City. But I remember when those shows were huge, man. Everybody talked about them. Shows come and shows go. And look at what's going off the air now. House is going off the air. After all those years, House was a monster. They're not going to do anymore. They've said, thank you very much, but we've done enough. You know, in a lot of ways, I got to hand it to people when they say that. They, you know, we've done enough shows. We want to go out while we're still, you know, a fairly good show, and we don't want to stink the joint up and stay on the air too long. And I think there's another one that's doing that. Anyway, getting back here to Charlie, he said, "I've done what he's done. I replaced a guy, Michael J. Fox on Spin City. It is so effing hard to do." It's all you're thinking about, and you're surrounded by these ghosts. So hats off to him for doing it. Sheen was television's highest-paid actor when he was fired from 2.5 Men in 2011 after several highly publicized alcohol-induced incidents and after crossing its producer. I think it was about this time last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, man, right about this time last year was Tiger Blood.
Yeah, it was winning. I was winning. Look, don't suggest an iron swine, because when you suggest an iron swine, then it we don't want to do it.
Oh, well, excuse me. I don't want to mess up your creative flow.
Yeah, we'd rather be a surprise.
All right, so I can expect that coming out of this next break, you may not do an iron swine bit.
Exactly.
All right. So that's from Charlie Sheen. Other news, Rick Santorum apparently is undergoing some scrutiny, even though he is on a roll. He stole a key endorsement from chief rival Mitt Romney on Friday as polls in Ohio and elsewhere suggest the former Pennsylvania senator has seized the momentum in the Republican roller coaster presidential contest. Amid the shift, however, are signs of stress within a disorganized Santorum campaign and intensifying questions about whether he can sustain a rise that has come and gone once before already. I'll tell you right now, and this is just Phil Hendry speaking, I won't vote for this guy. There's a possibility if Romney gets the nomination, I might vote for him as opposed to Obama. If the Republicans are stupid again, and let me tell you, they ain't the brightest bunch, and they try to stick another one of these social conservatives in there, and they get on the pulpit, and they Bible thump, and they do all of that stuff that I don't know where they got that from, I will not vote for a Republican again. I'll vote for Obama. If I got Santorum up there wagging his finger with his anti-gay this and his whatever his personal freaking problems are, forget it. Not him. That's why Palin sunk it for me. So the Republicans do whatever they want to do. You go ahead and blow it again, man. Put Santorum in there. Go ahead. Watch what happens. You will not win the election again. Be stupid. Marginalize yourselves again. And all of that.
Come up, Iron Swine.
Coming up, Iron Swine. Maybe. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Time for Iron Swine on a Phil Hendry Show. Tonight on Iron Swine,
Charlie Sheen and Phil Hendry talking about Charlotte Sheen. Or not Charlotte Sheen.
Charlie Sheen.
Going over to Phil Hendry Studio. Hey, Phil Hendry.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Charlie Sheen, talking all kind of smack? Charlie Sheen ain't never hurt you, and that ain't hurt me neither.
I'm going to talk about him because it's interesting to hear him.
Shut up. That's why I'm going to place you under arrest, Phil Hendry.
How are you doing? I'm Phil Hendry. I do multiple voices. Oh.
Einstein took Phil Hendry away to bad voice character school. He got him an education and threw him into bad character voice prison, too.
On Iron Swine.
Oh, isn't that funny? I don't even get it.
Ha, ha, ha.
What is that supposed to mean?
You're busting on Charlie Sheen.
That's one of the worst Iron Swines I've ever heard.
Yeah, you're going to say that on account that's about you.
Get out of here. Why did you guys do that?
Because we couldn't think of a better one.
Yeah, you want us to do one, so that one we did.
Well, you know what? I mean, don't let me talk you into it. If you can't think of a good one.
Wait a minute, I just thought of something. Hold on. Start again.
All right, man, hold on.
Start it again.
Hold on, man. God.
Okay, start it. Iron Swine.
What are we going to do?
I'll do it. Iron Swine, you got to go and tell Phil Hendry quit belching on the air.
Get out of here, will you? Tell Phil... quit belching on the air. All right, anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. There's an Iron Swine for you. By the way, the Iron Swines have achieved some level of popularity. I think we're probably going to do a collection of Iron Swines at some point. Now, speaking of that, coming up toward the summer months, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be presenting a collection of downloads for you on our website of the best of Ted Bell. And we are asking for votes from our backstage pass holders. Now, what you do is, if you're a backstage pass holder, you go to the email section on our website, that's under backstage, and you email us your favorite Ted Bell bit. Some people, because they're a little slow, have taken to posting them in the comments section under the Ted Bell thing. Those will be ignored. We're not even going to read those comments. In fact, we're probably going to close the comments section off there just to kind of help out people that are a little slow and don't quite get it. Even when it says go to email, they're still commenting, see? So you go to the email and you send us your favorite Ted Bell bit. And from all of the votes that we get, we're going to compile a list of the 15 greatest Ted Bell bits. Send it to us, care of our website, and this summer we're going to come up with the 15 greatest bits. We will make them available to you as individual downloads or as a collection, and that will be part and parcel of some other things we have planned for the summer months, so hope you enjoy that. That's at our website, philhendryshow.com, right there. Best of Ted Bell.
What are you talking about, like, in the comment section?
I said for people to put it into emails, and a lot of people are, but some people, because... either they're not very bright or whatever. They put it in the comments section, and that's not where it belongs. So at some point, we'll just close the comments section off under that particular one. Only because if you got a really good idea, send it to us on the email. If you know, why would you put it someplace where no one's going to read it? Okay?
Thank you.
All right, we wanted to get into, you know, there's so much of this bummer news, man. I don't know what to tell you. But there was an arrest made. Some other scumbag was looking to blow up the Capitol, and this guy, a 29-year-old Moroccan, federal authorities on Friday arrested a 20. Now, I want to ask you a question, and for my very open-minded listeners, I want you to just help me here. Of the people that have been arrested, since 9/11 for planning various attacks on the United States, terrorist attacks on the United States, of the people that have been arrested, do they fall into any specific category? Now, I want you to know something, and here again, we got a problem in this country. Nobody wants to be smart. Everybody wants to just adhere to their political point of view. So, for instance, if you're a stupid-ass progressive, you want to ignore the fact that there's a very specific profile for the of individuals that they suspected who may be planning terrorist attacks. It wasn't all Muslims, see? It wasn't all Muslims, but they didn't care. If you're a dumbass conservative, okay, then all you think about is Arab names. Richard Reed didn't have an Arab name. But one thing that all of these guys are fairly consistently, almost to a man, they do share, is some adherence to the Islamic faith, a fundamentalist Islamic belief, a fanatic jihadist belief. Like, for instance, some radical Christians have a Christian identity belief. They believe all Jews must die and the chosen people are actually Aryans. You know, you've heard of those people, right? So what we got here now, we got a Moroccan. He's a 29-year-old Moroccan in an alleged plot to carry out a suicide bombing at the U.S. Capitol. In the latest in a series of terrorism-related arrests resulting from undercover sting operations. And the dude is a self-described Muslim. For more than a year, this guy considered attacking targets, including a synagogue, an Alexandria building with military offices, and a Washington restaurant frequented by military officials. When arrested a few blocks from the Capitol around lunchtime on Friday, he was carrying what he believed to be a loaded automatic weapon and a suicide vest ready for detonation. The gun and the vest were provided not by Al-Qaeda, as he'd been told, but by undercover FBI agents who rendered them inoperable. That's the second of these incidents that I know of where the police have stepped in and essentially interdicted the situation and provided the suspect with dummy weapons, dummy bombs, like that planned bombing in Portland, Oregon on Christmas. They said that this guy, Khalif, had been the subject of a lengthy investigation. He never posed a threat to the public. On Friday afternoon, he made an initial court appearance where he was charged with attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction against federal property. He faces life in prison, imprisonment. Khalifi allegedly believed he was working with Al-Qaeda. He devised the plot, the targets, and the methods on his own. In several recent terrorism sting operations, critics have accused federal investigators of provoking suspects. Only Americans with too much time on their hands, only Americans with so much time on their hands and with no real fear for their own skin can come up with stupid rationale to make life more difficult for the police. Except, of course, if it's one of their family members or them who get ripped apart by a bomb someday. And then all of a sudden they're wondering, where were the cops? That's what they're going to... Remember the guy in Times Square, right? If that bomb had gone off, then all of a sudden they're going to be wondering, well, in several recent terrorism sting operations, critics have accused federal investigators of provoking suspects and in some cases suggesting possible targets. Legal experts say the FBI sometimes walks a fine line. What is that supposed to mean? They walk a fine line. Are they breaking the law or not? You want to be very sure that the narrative is not substantially provided by the government, said Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School, who studies terrorism sting operations. There's a lot of gray area in these cases, said Karen. But officials said Friday the Khalif, who allegedly conducted surveillance on the Capitol and engaged in methodical planning, was no unwitting victim. He arrived in the United States when he was 16. He was living as an illegal immigrant in Northern Virginia, having overstayed his visitor's visa for years. In 2010, he was evicted from an Arlington apartment after failing to pay rent. The landlord of that apartment, Frank Danita, a retired patent lawyer, said he was getting mysterious packages labeled books, but I didn't think there was a book in them. Mr. Danita said he thought Khalifi was suspicious and hostile. He reported him to the Arlington police. Two officers visited the apartment building soon after the report, but told him there was no reason to pursue the matter. You know, I can't read any more of this garbage, because all it is just, it's one of the things that people mocked. I keep thinking back on all the stuff that everybody laughed at. But when President Bush said, be vigilant, when President Bush, I remember President Bush saying, for instance, keep our eyes open, be vigilant. People made fun of that. When these people have lied, saying that it was Bush that said, go shop, that's just a lie. And since that time, I've heard President Obama pretty much say the same thing. Live your life. That's what Bush was saying, right? All of this stuff that was made fun of is now just a kind of a regular part of our lives, you know? Like the, for instance, the Patriot Act, which was the stripping of the Constitution. I mean, if you were to believe some people, the Constitution was taken and people were wiping their ass with it, you know?
What, the Constitution?
Yeah. The Patriot Act was just another way of wiping with the Constitution. Now, after God knows how many tests, court tests, Supreme Court tests, the Patriot Act's still with us. And President Obama, who I said before he took office, I said it and I'll say it again. Once you get into the office of President of the United States, you are no longer a Republican or a Democrat. If you're any kind of a man at all and any kind of a president, you are now just the president, man. And if you need to extend a Patriot Act here or go and blow, Osama bin Laden's head right off of his shoulders there or something else, then that's what you got to do. I got to tell you, Obama has not surprised me at all. These progressives that voted for him and say that he's now, quote unquote, kind of going back on his promises, or he's not as liberal as they thought. Where were you people, man? Were you watching the same guy I was watching? It's nothing he's doing surprising me. Nothing. Guy went after Osama bin Laden. The guy he's endorsed the extension of the Patriot Act. He has basically said we'll go back to Iraq if there is need to. I don't know exactly what shape or form that will take. But, all of this stuff is a part of our lives, in other words. There's nothing that is surprising me. There's none of this stuff that's happening now that is surprising. And it was all stuff that at one point people thought was, you know.
They thought America's going to turn into a Nazi state.
They thought, yeah, a Nazi state. You know, I heard people talking about. I saw that stupid ass movie you asked me to see, Robert.
What?
What was that V? What was that V for Vendetta? Whatever that thing was.
Yeah, they wore them Guy Fawkes masks.
That was the dumbest movie. And that guy, that character with the there was a time when the Quran. You know, remember he had the Quran because it was no longer you couldn't read the Quran. Who is the guy that wrote that thing? You got to be kidding.
Oh, that movie was bitching, though, man. They had all them Guy Fawkes guys.
So what, man? That was about as I mean, you had to have dropped many, many hits of acid to write that script, to come up with the paranoia in that one. Oh, there's no more Quran, and you can't do this, you can't do that, and this is the kind of police state. Man, we are so far away from that, you wouldn't believe it. We've never been even close to that kind of a police state. Ever. Ever.
Well, I mean, a lot of people think that we are. Didn't you even heard about, like, the black helicopter and everything like that?
Oh, would you knock it off with the black helicopter, black ops? I mean, I'm telling you, some of the stuff, I talk to a lot of people on Twitter and elsewhere, and I can't believe how stupid some people are. They still buying into this, America is going to become a police state. And every last one of those people is hysterical. They don't talk in any kind of a measured way. They talk with an elevated elevated decibel range and a sort of an elevated octave in the voice. And they're, well, I'm going to tell you the right numbers, you know. And they won't let you get a word in because they don't want to have to hear any truth. They want to just keep pouring their swill out about America being a police state. Man, you got to have some kind of real big fat hole in your life to buy that. You have to be seriously deluded. So afraid. I don't know what it is you're running from, but I guarantee you this. Anybody that buys that stuff is running from something.
Maybe they're gay.
Maybe.
Yeah, they're probably running from being gay.
Whatever, man. Okay. All right, we'll take a break here on the Phil Henry Show. Maybe they're gay.
Yeah, they're running away from the truth of the gayness.
Maybe. All right, we'll be right back here, Phil Henry Show, with Google sneaking tracking files onto guess what? What do you think you own that Google is sneaking a tracking file onto?
Underwear or something?
That's right, underwear. No. No, it isn't. It's your phone, your iPhone. We'll be back and talk about it here on The Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Don't tell me about that.
That's the God's honest truth. I found that out. I'm sure plenty of people know that, you know.
I don't believe that much money, though.
It's true. I mean, we were just talking about Dave Chappelle, the great comic, and great comic he is, turning down $50 million for another season of his show.
That's impossible, man.
It's not impossible. It's true. He turned down $50 million to do that extra. And you want to know why? Because he said he's already rich. And he didn't want to lose his mind. I mean, here's a guy, Dave Chappelle, is an artist. And it ain't like the guy is Mr. Pure Artist. He'd already made a hell of a lot of money with that show. And he did not want to suffer another year of that, man, for whatever reason. I can understand and respect his decision. $50 million or no $50
million? Yeah, but $50 million, how do you do that?
Boy, you guys are really, you know, I mean...
Are you going to turn down $50 million?
No, I'm not, no. But then again, I've never had $50 million, man, so I have to be honest with you, say no, of course I'm not going to turn down $50 million. But I ain't him, man. I haven't lived his life. I haven't been through what he's been through. If I had enough bread where I wouldn't have to work another day in my life, where I would be fine for the rest of my life, and that I would be able to help other people, like my family and stuff like that, maybe I would turn down $50 million if it meant... I can turn down $50 million and not put myself through another year of some sort of an experience that I guess he felt was just not worth going through again. You know?
Well, I mean, how bad can it be?
Well, look, man, the pressure's on. You got to write a hit show. It's got to be good. It's got to be great. And there's these shows. You know, we were just talking about the shows that were successful, right? But we forget that some shows... Are smash hit shows, and then all of a sudden they sort of tail out, man. I'm not saying that House was one of those. I think House is going off the air, as they say, while it's still pretty strong. But there are some shows that all of a sudden, magically, they just, we assume, well, year in, year out, they're going to be fantastic. And the next thing you know, people aren't watching them as much anymore. They just sort of suck. One of them is, for instance, the show Lost. Lost was... a huge show.
I love that show.
Yeah, it was a huge show. But they got to a point where they had to tie everything together, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't tie all of the stuff together that they needed to tie together, and it just sort of went, it crashed and burned. Freaking show. Everybody loved that show. I don't know, but that's the pressure. And, you know, that guy, J.J. Abrams, man, he did that show. He did Fringe. And now he's doing that Alcatraz. I mean, that cat is on a streak, man. You know, a winning streak. But, you know, it's a lot of pressure. So when a guy like Chappelle says, I don't need it, it doesn't faze me. All right, Google sneaking tracking files onto iPhones, according to a privacy researcher. Oh, really? Yes, a researcher at Stanford says Google made an end run around a privacy feature in Apple's Safari browser interesting, adding outside advertisers cookies. Google says it did not intentionally do so. Google Incorporated is under fire once again after allegations that it circumvented privacy protections built into the iPhone in order to track what users are doing online. A privacy researcher at Stanford University said Friday the internet search giant had made an end run around a privacy feature in Apple Incorporated's Safari browser, the default web surfing software for tens of millions of iPhone, iPad, and Macintosh users. Safari is right there on your iPhone. Where's my phone? I don't have my phone. I can hear the music playing, so let me just say this. I suggest that what you guys do is you pick up your iPhone, take a look at that Safari browser, and simply download a different browser. Just use a different browser to surf the internet, and that way you can tell Google to stick it deep and wide. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry, along with Dan Northcraft. And, of course, we invite you to join us online at philhenryshow.com, where we also provide you with the very finest in web entertainment. We have all of our Phil Henry Show archives there, as well as our daily podcast, as well as the daily archives of our videocast. That's philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. See you tonight for our local L.A. show.
Phil Henry. Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information.